Welcome, North Gators, and whoever's listening from wherever you are. Super excited about this series. We had a great conversation last night. A bunch of folks who've been a part of the series and a part of Northgate. And really, I think we're just asking the right questions. I don't have all the answers, which helps me know that we're asking the right questions. But some deep conversations, some just good vulnerability and openness to the things that that God might be doing with us and through us as we go through this series. So to catch you up, last week we had two sessions. This week we're only going to have two sessions as well, again, today and Thursday. But last week we talked about kind of what a spiritual gift is, tried to define it. And essentially I said this, that it's like the Holy Spirit is a general manager for Team Jesus. And when he drafts us, he gives us kind of these secret magic pills that help to further equip us to accomplish the goals that the team has, right? So in the team context, it would be if you're a football player, it would make you bigger, faster, stronger. In the Team Jesus context, it would make you better at praying or more generous or better at encouraging or wiser. And then on Friday, we talked about if God is going to give us these gifts, we ought to make sure that we do something with them, right? And I said, don't be Uncle Jimmy. Don't just kind of sit in the basement of the Lord and not do something with the things that he has entrusted you with. Rather, we ought to be out doing things with these gifts, not in a capitalism sort of way, accomplish, 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 but in a, look, the Savior and Redeemer of the universe asked us to, and so we ought to, out of love, not out of obligation. So today we're going to kind of continue this. What we're going to primarily talk about is the list, right? Like, what are the gifts? I'm not going to tell you the details of many of them yet, but I am going to kind of put all my cards on the table and say, this is what I think the spiritual gifts are, and you can tell me at the end how many there really are. And so what we're going to do is kind of remind you of the definition. I've defined spiritual gifts this way. It is a special ability or it is special abilities that have been given by the Holy Spirit intentionally to you for the building up of the body and the expansion of the kingdom. Now, all of those pieces have to be at play, right? It's not like you can round up. It's a special ability, but not given by the Holy Spirit and accidentally given to me. That's not a spiritual gift. It has to be all of these things. It's comprehensive, right? It has to be a special ability given by the living God to me with purpose to see the kingdom of God built up and the body encouraged. Here's how another guy defines it. I'm going to be quoting a couple things from Sam Storms. He wrote a book just called The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts. And he defines it this way, and I think it's good and it's innocent. But he says that spiritual gifts are the answer to the human question, why can't we do that? So many times I look through the Gospels and Acts especially, but some of the other letters that Paul wrote, and I'm like, yeah, why can't I do that? Paul and Peter and James and Barnabas, they're all out doing these amazing things, raising people from the dead and healing and speaking in tongues, and Pentecost happens and they're a part of it. And I'm like, why can't we do that? And what Sam Storms would say is that's what the spiritual gifts do. They actually give you the ability to do those things because that's who Jesus is. And when we look at what I would call Paul's definition of the spiritual gifts, we see kind of the same thing. So I'm going to put a long passage on the screen, but I want you to really focus on the first and the last verse first, but I didn't cut the rest out because they become relevant later. So just bear with me. Here's the text, 1 Corinthians 12. This is one of those lists that we see of the spiritual gifts. But verse 7 is really the juicy one. It says, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. We're going to come back to that. Verse 8, to one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another message of knowledge by that same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of those tongues. And then verse 11, one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. Now, the reason I want to sit on manifestation is because we need to recognize precisely what's happening when the spiritual gifts are used. And here's what Storms, the author of that book, says that Paul is trying to convey to us in this passage. He says about the word manifestation, Paul's way of saying that the Spirit is himself made manifest or visibly evident in our midst whenever the gifts are in use. So many Christians are dying to have these deep encounters with Jesus. Folks, there's the way, right? Like, if we can just live out of our giftedness, what Paul is saying, what Storms is saying, obviously secondarily, is that when we put our gifts to use, there's a physical manifestation, or at least some visible evidence of the Holy Spirit himself being at work in our lives. I have to struggle not to say it's like the Holy Spirit is making. No. It is that the Holy Spirit himself is being made manifest in our lives when we use our spiritual gifts. He goes on to say, spiritual gifts are the concrete disclosures of divine activity and only secondarily human activity. What's going on when we do these things is that people are having this encounter with Jesus. And so those of you who are hungry for more of him, serve out of your gifts, because that's when he presents himself in powerful and dynamic ways. And I see this, look, sometimes I'm praying for sick folks. Sometimes I've had to pray against, evil spirits with folks. And I got to tell you, I don't consider myself as having a spiritual gift of prayer. I'm not an intercessor. But some of those moments are the sweetest, most intimate moments of my life with Jesus. There's also times when I'm preaching. In fact, the last live sermon I preached is one of these moments that I'll just remember for the rest of my life, because it's like the Holy Spirit just kind of tapped me on the shoulder. It was like, can I say something? Can you just get out of the way? And I mean, I need your voice, but I got something to say. And then he just kind of, I don't want to make this too mystical or scary, but it's almost like I stop being here and he starts to speak through me, because I think I have the gift of teaching or preaching or pastoring, whatever you want to call it. Knowledge, wisdom, we'll talk more about what those are. But whatever gift you want to apply that to, it's this deep, passionate encounter with Jesus that is sort of immediate. It's not mediated by anything. It's just me and him, because it's this divine activity that's going on, having manifested itself in me. Storms goes on to say, spiritual gifts are the presence of the Spirit himself coming to relatively clear, even dramatic expression in the way we do ministry. Gifts are God going public among his people. This is him showing off who he is and what he's capable of. But he does it through our willing and humble expressions of the gifts that he has entrusted us with. And so part of the reason I'm going through all these details is I don't want us to think that using your spiritual gifts is just like completing a task list from God, right? When I was a kid, in the summers, my mom would leave lists for us to do, right? Make sure you do the dishes, mow the lawn, sweep the basement, whatever. And that was it. Like, we would do those things, or we wouldn't, if I'm honest. And at the end of the day, I didn't really have a context for it. I didn't really know why I was doing it. I was just checking boxes on a chores list. I don't want us to think of using our spiritual gifts as completing a chores list from God, but it's an invitation into ownership of the family business. If Jesus is our brother, the Holy Spirit is our advocate, and God is our Father, they're trying to invite us into the business of world transformation, of redemption, of building his kingdom. And so even today, we had this carpet cleaning company in, and the guy who owns the company is talking about his passion for it, because he receives the company from his father, and he gets to pass it down. And you know that there's a different way that those people do business. They're hopefully trying to apprentice their children, and this is what's going on, right? When you're invited into the family business, you hopefully get a bigger picture of what it is. Jesus even says this in the upper room. He says, look, I've given you all the understanding. You are no longer slaves. You are friends, because you understand what I'm doing. I'm giving you all the secrets. And so the use of our spiritual gifts is this. It's part of our ownership in the family business. He's trying to instruct us beyond just task. He wants us to recognize why we're praying and why we're encouraging and why we're teaching and why we're being generous, not just because we're supposed to be generous, but because that's what the kingdom and the world need to be fruitful. And a too often quoted passage, but I got to throw it in, is this, is Matthew 18, right? This, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. This is what happens if these spiritual gifts are not for me, but for you all. And if your spiritual gifts are not for you, but for all of us, this is what's happening when two people gather, three people gather in the name of Jesus. Those spiritual gifts can then be expressed and exercised, and you know that he is manifesting himself in our presence. Now, you are no doubt saying this, but dude, you're supposed to talk about the list. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the list now, but I want us to understand why this is such a big deal. I don't want us to think that when we pray, we're praying because mom left it on a to-do list. We're praying because it's what the world needs, and it's what God, the Father and Redeemer of the universe, has entrusted us to do. There's a bigger picture in the exercising of these gifts than just checking the box. Now, when we look at the gifts themselves, there are kind of two ways to come up with this list. The first is what I'm calling a restricted view. This is, look, you see some things in Scripture. If it's listed, then we'll count it. If it's not, then we won't. And I get this position, right? Like, we are not supposed to add things to Scripture. That's real dangerous. There's a liberal view, which is kind of like, look, as long as it satisfies the needs of a spiritual gift, right? If it's a special ability given by the Holy Spirit intentionally to a person to build up the body and expand the kingdom, then let's count that as a spiritual gift, right? And I know some people are already like, no. I don't think you can just make them up. And I think if we use that definition as a metric to say, yeah, this is or isn't a spiritual gift, again, it has to be all of those things. It has to be a special ability. It has to be given by God. It has to be intentionally given to a person, and it has to be used to build up the body and expand the kingdom. If it's all of those things, I got to say, confessionally, I kind of land on the liberal side of this. I'm not super caught up in, is it in 1 Corinthians, Romans, or Ephesians? Because even Paul doesn't agree with himself in all of those areas. He gives different lists each place. And there are some things, as you'll see as I go through these potential lists, that I think make it, that I think even Paul is cool with a little bit of liberality in how we define these. Against the restricted view, I want to say this. If you just Google spiritual gifts, you might see that there's a list of 7 or 9. And if you see the list of 9 and you click on it, these are the 9 you're going to get. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, discernment, faith, knowledge, wisdom, healing, miracles, and prophecy. Now, this is fine. It's an interesting list because it's almost the list in 1 Corinthians, but not quite. There's a few missing. And so I don't know where this list comes from. So I would not like rebuke in the name of Jesus, but I think this list is foolish. I think it's too restrictive, and I think it's damaging to the kingdom if we limit the gifts to these, because here's what my experience has told me. New young believers especially generally have their entire bodies on fire for Jesus because they've seen the radical transformation that they've just recently endured. And recent always makes things more clear. Right? You look at this picture and all the other people are basically asleep. And then this one woman is just like she, and I don't know if this is a rock concert. I don't know. It might be a public rally or political rally, but she is stoked. I feel like she's worshiping. And here's what happens when we paint too narrowly the picture of the spiritual gifts. People will look at that list, the tongues and interpretation of tongues, discernment, faith, knowledge, wisdom, healing, miracles, prophecy, and they'll say, I don't have any of those. Miles, you lied to me. You said I got a spiritual gift. I didn't get one. I'm bad at all of those. I don't know how to do any of those. Paul, you lied to me. Scripture, you're wrong. Like, I don't have one of these gifts. And so these people who are on fire for Jesus, who are impassioned and ablaze because Jesus finally got a hold of their lives, are unable to identify what God would have them do. So when we're too restrictive about the list, I think we do damage to the new believer, and I think we do damage to the body. Some of you may be, look, I've been a Christian for 40 years. That's the list I've seen, and I didn't think I had one. That's damaging. That makes a liar out of Paul and me and Scripture. And that list, again, is foolish because these are at least the ones that are listed. So I think if you want to take the most restricted approach, this is your list, right? These are the ones that are spelled out in Romans 12. We have prophecy and service and teaching and encouraging, giving, leading, mercy. 1 Corinthians, you just heard me read, but it's wisdom and knowledge and apostleship, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, administration, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then in Ephesians, Paul talks about these are, again, ones that haven't been included in the list above, the gift of evangelism or shepherd or pastor, depending on how you define those terms. So I think this is the most restricted one that makes sense. But then we get into these other ones. Some of you are like, wait, I have some gifts that aren't on the list yet. Yeah, well, they're coming. Some of those gifts are biblical add-ons, I'm going to call them, right? Like celibacy, we read in 1 Corinthians 7. Paul talks about this. He says, man, I wish everybody had this gift, but it's not up to me. Voluntary poverty and martyrdom come in 1 Corinthians 13. Incidentally, martyrdom's a hard one to test, right? You kind of get one shot at it and see if you have that gift. So that's an awkward one for me. The gift of missionary, right? Going to new cultures. You see in Ephesians, Paul talking about what he was sent to the Gentiles. And hospitality. Most people would be content with this list. And as we go through, I think we also have this list, the gifts that the intuitive add-ons, right? Intercession. Are you telling me that prayer isn't a spiritual gift? I know some people who sit in a room and pray and things happen. Some big things and some small things, but their prayers seem to be heard in a different way. Most agree that there's a spiritual gift of deliverance, right? This is being able to cast demons out. This is a scary one. We'll talk about it when we talk about it, but it's a hard one. What about leading worship? What about craftsmanship, right? Are you telling me that all the art that was made about Jesus doesn't build up the body, that it doesn't promote the kingdom, that those people weren't sort of specially anointed to create? Like Rembrandt wasn't specially created to paint the prodigal son? What about preaching? What about writing? Now, these aren't necessarily in Scripture. They're certainly not listed as spiritual gifts in the Bible, but don't you see how those can be spiritual gifts? So here's the exhaustive list. This is the most liberal application that I can come up with. And I see, I mean, I know some of you are probably like really uncomfortable with such a long list. And here's my dirty little secret. I think that's okay. I think if you end up with 9, that's troubling. If you end up with that second list that we showed, 17 or 18, 19, whatever it was, okay. But at the end of the day, I think the fact that Paul doesn't know what all the gifts are and he doesn't list them all in one spot, the fact that a spiritual gift is how God manifests himself in our presence, I think he manifests himself in all these ways. And so I've got 30 listed. Some of them I don't even necessarily buy, but these are ones that are kind of commonly referenced. But at the end of the day, I'm not even convinced that Jesus is done inventing spiritual gifts. And I don't think that's unbiblical. I don't think that we're trying to tweak Scripture in a way that violates itself. I think what we're doing is we're saying, look, the Holy Spirit is desperate to interact with his people. He is desperate to be seen by his broken people. And he's going to do the things that he can to make himself manifest in our lives in powerful and impactful ways. And he's going to be creative about it. He's a creative God who wants nothing more than deep relationship. And though craftsmanship isn't necessarily listed in any of the groupings, I don't think that we're violating the truths of Scripture to say, yeah, I think art might be a spiritual gift. So this is where I land. I think that there is a somewhere between 20 and 1,000 spiritual gifts. Actually, I wouldn't say 1,000. 30. 5. But I'm not yet convinced that Jesus is done with us, that he's done creating ways for us to innovatively and impactfully make his spirit made known in and among his people who are desperate to see and have deep encounters with him. So as we continue to go over the next couple weeks, many of those 30, we will kind of take one by one or in groupings, and I'm going to kind of tell you what they're about and how they work and who maybe in Scripture uses those gifts and as an example. But I want you to get this sense, if nothing else. God creates this list. He places in us these gifts, these abilities for his Spirit to be made manifest in us and among us, to glorify himself, to encourage the body, and so that we have more than just a list of tasks to perform, but we have this inspirational work that allows us to be united in a partnership with the Spirit who governs and guides us as we do whatever our ministry is, whatever we're called into. And so between now and Thursday, be thinking about this. What is your list? What do you think is appropriate? Am I a heretic? Are you a heretic? Is it possible that Jesus is still exercising his creative muscles to give us new ways to experience and to show off who he is?